Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Real Hawk Talk postgame show. I'm Brian Nemhauser, coming to you on the field here at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina, after the Seahawks pull away and get a 27-10 victory, go to 13-3. Now control to the point where one more game means an NFC West title, means the number one seed in the NFC. And with me to talk about it, I don't know if this is the first time. We've definitely had him on before, but my kid, Isaac Nemhauser, down there in Portland. Buddy, I'm glad you could join. I talked to these two, this father and son, who are do the chain gang on every Sunday here for Carolina. I was like, I'm jealous, man. I got to get my kid involved in this stuff. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. I mean, especially after that game, the second half, at least, I'll say. But I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always different watching in person, and especially watching in the press box versus watching on TV. So tell me your reactions as you're going through that game. How did you kind of digest it, and where did you end up?
I mean, I got to start with, and this isn't, I mean, I hope you know me. I'm not usually one to complain about the refs, but I got to start there. That first half was pretty rough.
Yeah,
I was getting pretty heated with that uncatchable pass. I mean, that was way over the head. The missed horse collar and face mask. I was getting pretty fed up with that. But I mean, this team finds a way to respond every week. It seems like if they're not blowing the team out in the first half, this is usually how it plays out. They start off a little slow, and once they figure it out, they figure it out fast.
You know, it is such a confusing team in some ways. In other ways, they're really simple. Like, the Seahawks for a long time were not good on the road. They were not good in 10 a.m. games, you know. And so on one hand, you're like, well, I'm just going to be grateful every time this team wins. And they win by 17 points on the road against a team that has a chance to go to the playoffs themselves and to beat the Rams and beat the Packers. But on the other side, you're like, man, that wasn't pretty for a lot of this game. And the offense, especially the passing game. How worried are you about that?
I don't know if I was how worried I'd say I am. I mean, it reminds me a little of those kinds of games where I think there was a Lions game 1 or 2 years ago where the offense looked fantastic, but we lost. It was like an absolute shootout with the Lions. And I remember the general consensus with Seahawks fans after that game was we're trending in the right direction, even though the loss goes in the wrong column. I kind of feel the opposite way about this game. It is a little disheartening to see them continue to struggle like this, but at the end of the day, we got the win.
Yeah, I've been trying to be patient and also be understanding about what the Seahawks have been trying to do. Like, I think they've really been emphasizing getting the run game going to help take some of the pressure off Sam Darnold. And I think it's been working. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's also taken Sam, I think, out of rhythm a little bit. I think they're just kind of been trying to figure it out. But this game, this is not a good defense. And they don't have a good pass rush. And they don't have good linebackers. And then they lost their second string linebacker. And it was still like pulling teeth in the passing game. Ultimately, you know, Sam Darnold throws the touchdown to A.J. Barner. Has some pretty clutch. What's that?
Barner was awesome, at least for a few.
Yeah, well, let's talk about him. I mean, what did you see from AJ?
He's just a fighter. I love him. Every time he gets the ball, he fights for every inch, every yard. He's an energizer. I love him. Every week, started liking him more.
Who are your players that you like the most on this team?
I mean, JSN, obviously. I love Utena Nwosu. He's kind of a random pick for me, but I love watching him play.
What do you love about him? I just talked to him in the locker room. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that he's when he gets a chance to make a play on the ball on a ball carrier, he usually does it with some energy, with some power and some speed that I don't see even on a really, really talented defense. I think he's fun to watch. Lawrence, Williams, but I mean, probably the favorite player right now is Emory. He's just awesome.
It was funny. I was joking with Uchenna in the locker room about the fact that he had a tackle in the open field in this game. And like, he was like, yeah, I have not had that since college, but he closed ground. And I thought that was actually one of the biggest stories of this game. You know, obviously there's been a lot of focus on the offense, but how many times did the Panthers throughout the game, early on especially, swing it out to a player in the open field with one defender out there? And every single time, that defender brought the guy down. That's not easy, man.
And it's worth mentioning that they weren't doing, at least from my perspective, they weren't doing that by choice. They were doing it because that was the only option the defense was giving them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't take everything away, but to be able to cover, like, Tet McMillan, I think, only had one catch in this game, came very late in the game, and basically be able to take away what they wanted to do and still rally when you're in the open field against Rico Dowdle or Chuba Hubbard, who are both pretty good in the open field. I thought that was big. And then, you know, you lose Rashid Shaheed early to a concussion on a play that should have been unnecessary roughness. Like, let's take a second on the refs. You brought it up. I was talking about this with a couple of folks inside. I mean, there is the face mask and the horse collar on the same play to JSN that did not get called. There was the unnecessary roughness when Shaheed was thrown out of bounds and concussed. There was, I thought it was a forward pass from Sam Darnold.
Agreed. I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
Right? Like,
and I think the interception in the end zone, I think that might have been incomplete.
Did they say anything about, like, it looked like clearly his foot was on the line.
It went to commercial break, and before the commercial, I remember them saying like, oh, I don't think that's going to stand. Came back and Carolina's offense was on the field and they like brushed over it.
Yeah. So during that commercial break, the Seahawks defense came out in the field and they were like getting ready. And then they saw the replay. They all ran off the field and the offense came back on and the Panthers defense came back on. They all thought it was going to be overturned. And then without any explanation, you could just see that they flipped. And so some reason they decided, but I never heard why. Also on that Sam Darnold play where they called it a fumble, Mike McDonald, I don't know if they showed that on TV, but he got after the ref on the sideline. He was furious that they didn't call that back.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they did not show it. Yeah. So
I don't think I remember seeing that. No,
he lost it. And he was pretty clear in the press conference. Like, he disagreed with a lot of the calls. He thought they got the first down on the sneak to Darnold. I would also throw, I thought Cooper Kupp was interfered with in the end zone on one of the drives. I thought Sam Darnold was hit out of bounds when he scrambled near the end zone. Like, there weren't many play calls that are like calls that went the Seahawks way, but they still win by 17.
Yeah. I'm curious what you think that Derek Hall almost interception that really could have.
Oh, Derek Brown. Derek Brown.
Sorry, on Derek Hall.
Yeah.
I felt like that was almost the turning point, or the that was the fork in the road of the game. Could have gone a very different direction.
I thought he caught it. I didn't see the definitive angle that people say where Jalen Sundell knocked it out of his hands.
That was very clear. I mean, he never even came close to catching it. But man, when the angle live, it was seemed pretty clear he did catch it, and I was like, oh man, this might go poorly from here.
Yeah, well, and what did you make of Sam Darnold's day? I mean, another two turnovers, could have had more. Does end up, you know, leading him down for some big points, but where are you on Sam?
I mean, here's what I'll say about Sam. I I am a Darnold fan, and he really pisses me off sometimes, but the team really seems to rally around him. They respect the hell out of him. They like him a lot. They have his back. They have all, at least they say they have all the faith in the world in him, and it gives me faith. So even when he's throwing all these batted balls at the line of scrimmage week after week after week, I mean, that's the thing that drives me the craziest. He's like, what, 6'2", 6'3", and he's doing that all the time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there is a version of him that we saw earlier in the season that isn't showing up as much in the last several weeks, but is still there. But I still have faith in him to bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great call out about his, like, the height of his throws, because there are passes that got completed today that felt like they were buzzing by helmets on the way. And it is kind of hard to throw like high and up and over the line, but then get it down to the guy that's a few yards in front. But I mean, you got to be able to make those throws. And he, there's a lot of tipped balls with him. You know, Russell Wilson didn't have that problem, but Russell Wilson also didn't pass over the middle of the field very often either. Mm. So, I don't know, man. This is a game I thought that he and JSN were going to go off, and that didn't happen. That did not happen. How big was that? That finally they got one call right. The face mask on JSN on what was like the, what was it, 3rd and 20 yeah. or whatever it was.
That was huge. That was huge.
I mean, JSN, like, he was selling it, like going on the ground, like needing to walk off. I was like, if they didn't call that, I mean, geez, man, the fix would have been in.
I think he got poked in the eye on that play. But I'm curious. JSN, I mean, clearly it doesn't take a guru to see his production's fallen off a little bit the past month or so. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, teams are doing everything they can to take him away. And I think a lot of the plays that were working with him before are things that are now on film. And I don't think Clint Kubiak's come up with new ways to get him open. And then the other big thing is he and Sam Darnold were the best deep thrower and the best deep receiver in the NFL. I don't know if Sam Darnold attempted a pass over 15 yards today, in the air. So teams are like, they played, I talked to Eric Saubert afterwards. He said they played more cover two than they expected. Safety's deep. They're trying to take away the deep passes and they're forcing the Seahawks to go underneath. And you know what? It's not been happening. So it's an issue. Like, they've got to figure this out. The Panthers are like the heaviest zone team in the NFL. And Sam Darnold has just not been as good against zone coverage teams, especially if they're playing. This has been a cover three team, a single high team predominantly. And for them to come out in basically a totally different defensive structure, that just goes to show you how much the league believes they figured out how to stop this passing game.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all good insight. One of the things you said caught my attention the most. You think it sounds like your head goes more towards this being a Kubiak and greater offensive issue as a whole than it is a JSN thing.
I definitely don't think it's a JSN thing. Like, I think it's 0% a JSN thing. I think it is a Kubiak, Sam Darnold, and offensive line thing where, like, I'll give Sam a little bit of a break that there was some pressure in his face. And this is like one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. And he was not getting clean, comfortable pockets. No. So that's not on him. Like, the other guys got to do their jobs. And then, yeah, I think Kubiak has not been able to figure out how to counter this. There's been teams that have been taking away the bootleg game. Everyone's like, roll out Sam Darnold, roll out. Well, I've talked to guys earlier, if the defense basically plays like really wide edges, like they put their edge rushers, they kind of take away some of that rollout game, but then you got to punish them with run. And let's talk about the run game, Isaac. I mean, Zach Charbonnet goes for 110 and two touchdowns, and Ken Walker ran as hard as he could, got 50 yards in addition, 160 plus yards on the ground. if they don't have that run game today, they might not win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I've joked with you plenty. I'm in no way the biggest Charbonnet supporter, but okay. when he plays well, I mean, he's starting to shut me up, I guess I'll put it that way. He's put string together some good games, and you know what? I'll take what I can get. If the rush offense is humming and it's working like it was today, and I don't really care who's toting the rock. It worked.
I mean, Charbonnet's third down run on third and 16 for 25, 29 little yards, whatever it was. It's a huge play.
Yeah, quick pitch, whatever it was.
Yeah, and the Seahawks have now done that multiple times this year. They got the third and 16 up the middle against, what was it, the Rams? Mm-hmm. They got the third and 16, I think it was, a third and goal, Ken Walker against the Steelers. So I don't know, third down and 15 plus, maybe the Seahawks just need to start running the ball all the time, because the passing game certainly hasn't been converting a lot of those.
Yeah. I like these more than McDonald's hook and ladder plays that he ran when he first started coming here. Remember those? I think one actually worked against Detroit.
Oh, you're talking about Ryan Grubb when they hit last year, when they do the little.
Yeah.
I like those plays. You don't like the hook and ladders?
Well, I mean, when they work, they're pretty awesome. But
yeah.
Did they not try one this year? Could have sworn that they brought it back.
I think they did. No, I think they did one time. I don't think it worked, but I also might be wrong. So that's as good as my old man memory.
I'm all for these third and long fluke run plays. They're awesome.
Well, I mean, I guess part of it is there might be something that's a little less than fluky if they've done it three or four times. But I mean, when you've got, I thought Zach Charbonnet played fantastic today. I honestly did. I thought he made good reads. I thought he, every single time he pushed the pile forward, he was never knocked backwards. And I mean, that was who the Seahawks thought they drafted when they took him in the second round as kind of this power back. And a lot of fans have been like, where is that? And I think it showed up in spades today. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, he made plays every time he was on the field. I think he was averaging over 10 yards a carry for a large chunk of the first half, if not past that.
Yeah. We got to talk more about the defense. DeMarcus Lawrence, dude. I mean, admit it. Like, when they signed DeMarcus Lawrence, did you have any expectation he was going to be this much of an impact player?
No, not at all. I mean, I wasn't watching any DeMarcus Lawrence tape, but I mean, he's what? How old is he? 33?
He's 34, if I remember right.
Yeah, I mean, he has no business being as good as he is. And you'd be hard-pressed to find someone his age at his position putting up the numbers he's putting up. So, no, I had no expectation of this.
I have to admit, when he was chasing Bryce Young like multiple times, I was having these flashbacks to when he was chasing down Kyler Murray in week four and he pulled like a quad or something. And I was like, please God, it's cold here, man. It's chilly. It's like, I was like, don't pull a muscle. And he didn't. And for him to like force that fumble, recover the fumble, it would have been great if he could have gotten another touchdown as well. Unbelievable game for him. And then Julian Love, did you see that
pick? Yeah.
I mean, walk through your reaction to that play.
I mean, it was almost with most big play turnovers, it's a little moment of like, holy crap, did that just happen? And I mean, it did. It was just a good ass play. Not one you see a safety make very often. Usually they're coming from way further back on the field, but he was right way up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit it, when the pass, like before the pass was thrown, I said, oh, he's got him. Like, it was a wide open lane to his receiver, and Julian just closed it down. And I turned to John Boyle, who's the Seahawks writer, and I was like, man, I would have thrown that interception too. I thought he was open. And John said, well, there'd be a lot of problems if you were out there throwing passes, which is a fair response. But like, that was, I mean, that's one of the things that makes Julian Love so good. He is so smart. And I've seen him do that to Seahawks quarterbacks in practice. He baits a trap and like, and then when he makes the interception, it's like, why did the quarterback even throw that? It was, there was no chance, but he has a knack for it. And then I thought Ty Okada coming in for Kobe Bryant was really good as well.
He's been reliable all season in the snaps he gets.
He really has. He's so physical. He's a great tackler. And you know, whether he's covering or coming down to hit, I mean, the guy's playing great football. So, injury news wise, it sounds like Cody White might miss some time with his groin injury. And then Rashid Shaheed has a concussion. We'll find out more. Didn't sound like, you know, other than he's got a concussion, so you'll have to go through the protocol. Didn't sound like a particularly concerning situation. But they were down two receivers really quickly. And then you had to get like Jake Bobo and Derek Young. And so I think that also probably affected, I think Rashid Shaheed was probably a big part of the plan for today. That probably played a little bit of a role in slowing things down.
I'm sure. Yeah. I will say when I saw Bobo out there, it was a refreshing sight. I'm a big Bobo fan. Haven't seen him in weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if he's going to come up with a big play, but it just never materialized. And, you know, Cooper Kupp, that catch on third down. You remember that catch like behind him, like at his ankles, not a great throw, although there was pressure in his face when Darnold threw it. That was a massive catch by Cooper Kupp.
Man, I got a huge catch. I got to say, I'm so really, it's just the past couple weeks I've been so torn on him because, just like with Sam, he's the guys rally around him. Clearly, he's a leader of the team. He's a mentor. The coaches love him. And he makes a lot of these great plays. But, man, he is – I mean, that fumble against the Rams, I think there was one today he dropped.
Oh, well, it was almost the interception, right?
Like yes,
the
one that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just recency bias coming in. But I've been getting a little annoyed with him recently. I wish he was more reliable.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think he would probably feel the same way. You know, he doesn't want to be contributing to turnovers you know, but I mean, that fumble against the Rams was massive. And yeah, you can't have plays like that. So I don't know, man, all things kind of rolled up now. The Seahawks are 13-3, which is crazy. We get to watch the 49ers against the Bears. And if the 49ers lose that game to the Bears, then they won't be playing for anything next week. They'll be locked in at the sixth seed. If they tie and the Rams lose, then the Seahawks won't be playing for anything either because they'll have won the number one seed. But I don't know that that's a likely outcome. You kept saying Seahawks are going to go win the NFC today. I'm going to tell everybody, you kept saying that. So how you feeling, man? Are they going to go win the NFC?
I see no reason why they can't, why they shouldn't. I mean, I mean, when I've been talking with you the past couple of weeks, I don't know where your instinct of games comes from, because it always seems to surprise me. And you also more often than not seem to be right when you have just some gut instinct. And you're also honest with sometimes you just don't know which way a game's going to go. But when you do have an instinct, it's usually right. And your instinct about that game next week in Santa Clara, with likely the one seed and the division on the line, that you're weirdly confident about that game. And you ask me how I feel about securing that one seed. I mean, like I said, the way they played, the quality this team clearly has, they should be good enough to get it. But that's a scary game to me, and it doesn't seem like it's scaring you very much.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think I was pretty consistent about this before the game, and I'll stay that way mostly after. I thought this was the tough game. Like, they're both tough, but I thought this was the kind of game that you lose. Like, people have lost memory of how hard it is to come across the country, win a 10 a.m. game against a team that's fighting for a playoff game, win, and the freaking Dolphins beat the Bucs. Like, this was literally, if the Panthers won this game on their home field, they would have clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's just hard to do. And we saw it was a slow start against Atlanta. I thought it was a slow start again today. But they got it. And I just believe that this particular Seahawks team, you give them one game. One game they have to win. And if it's against anybody but the Rams, and all they have, they win one game and they get the number one seed in the division, I'm picking them every single time. Now, the Rams, I say, except for the Rams, because I think the Rams are, frankly, like, they've been playing better than Seattle in at least the offensive phase by a long shot. Seahawks have been a little more complete, but the 49ers, it's no disrespect, although I love disrespecting them. It's not any disrespect for them. They've been in all these games. They're smart. They're well coached. But I'll take the Seahawks. I'll take the Seahawks against anyone. And I might even take them against the Rams in that situation. So we got a week to go. We'll find out.
What's going through my head when I'm curious your thoughts. So think back the whole season. What are the big games where, like, the whole week there was just a little extra on the line, a little extra buildup where this game meant a whole lot? Obviously, both the Rams games, maybe week one. What, any others you'd throw in there?
You know what I'd throw in there that's a sneaky one is the Steelers game in week two. This team was so, like, upset about losing to the 49ers. I think they had big expectations for how they were going to start their season against that team, and to lose it, I think there's a lot of people that were very upset. And so if they had gone into Pittsburgh, because now they blew it to the Browns today. God, what a joke. Anyway, to go into that Pittsburgh, who had just blown out the Jets in week one and beat them, I think that was a season-defining week.
Totally agree.
So that's another one I'd throw out there. Other than that, I mean, you could say week four against the Cardinals, when the Cardinals were still actually above 500 team. Maybe. It was a Thursday night game. That was still when people were doubting Sam Darnold, but not quite as big as the other ones we've mentioned.
I mean, I'll just to be like play devil's advocate a little bit and be tough on the Seahawks. That if I think a lot of people would say that they have had two games this season that are really like, this is for all the marbles. Like, this is a real big deal. A lot of national coverage, prime time, whatever, even though only one of the Rams games is in prime time. Those two Rams games are a lot of people would say are it. And I won't say they didn't show up for either, because that wouldn't be true. But I don't know. I'm left with a little bit of I'm not sure how to feel about this team's ability to rise up to the occasion. I know they're good. They're really good, and I think they're definitely good enough to win it all. But I just don't know how I feel about it, if we've gotten a good enough taste of that yet.
Yeah, I think the answer will come for sure, and I think it's a fair question. I'd also just say you got to look around the NFL, and there's just not that many big games to be played because teams just are not that good. I mean, they beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and that at the time didn't look like the biggest win, but Jaguars have certainly played pretty well, and they beat the Texans at home in a game that, like, people seem to have forgotten about. They scored 27 points, and they should have had more. They had a missed field goal or a blocked field goal, one of the two, and then they had the Cooper Kupp interception in the red zone. No other team scored as many points against the Texans as the Seahawks had. At least I haven't checked recently, but that was the case for most of it. So you look back, I mean, they're 13-3. And they're aiming to go 14-3. Sam Darnold is aiming to be the first quarterback in the history of the sport to win 14 games in back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Unreal. It's wild, man.
I mean, so, you can say whatever you want about the supporting cast, but that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you got to run here in a bit. Any closing thoughts for you? And sorry for folks that have super chats. When I do these post-game shows on the field, like, I have no ability to actually access super chat. So I apologize. If you want to send it to me at venmo.com/Brian-Nemhauser, I'll read those there and get them in the morning after when we do a show tomorrow. All right, closing thoughts for you on this game and where this team is.
I think this whole post game, I've been hard on the team, but this team can, they can win the Super Bowl. They should win the Super Bowl. They put themselves in the position to do that. And I'm having fun watching this team every week for the first time in years. So it's refreshing, it's exciting, and I love what I'm seeing. So I'm glad we got the win today. Have another week of being calm before the storm, but yes. I'm happy.
That's kind of where I'm at. Is if I look at this game in isolation, I mean, defense was amazing. Give them all the praise that they deserve. I think Jason Myers deserves another shout out. That 48-yard field goal was, you know, not simple. We take it for granted, but you know, that was big. The offense was uninspiring. Like, I'm happy about the run game, but I'm getting pretty concerned about the pass game again, especially in this against this defense. Now the 49ers don't have any better of a pass rush than the Panthers, but they have a really good defensive coach. So I am concerned about that. And, there's not much time left to figure it out. So, you know, you take the game on its own, not super encouraging, but
they got
that's the thing about this team, man, is they have been the better team in almost every game. And they just won another kind of blowout game. 17 points is a blowout in the NFL.
I was going to say, like, you say not super encouraging, and you're right. I don't think many Seahawks fans would disagree with you there. But when was the last time we were this upset about winning by 17 points?
Yeah, and I'm not even upset. I guess I just if you had told me they won this game by 3 points, I would have taken it. Like, it was just get out of Carolina with a win, give them their full focus on week 18. And now we got that. Yeah. So let's go have some fun the rest of the day. I appreciate you joining, my boy. Fun for me, fun for hopefully other folks as well. Folks, if you haven't given the show a like, click subscribe, please do. We'll have more coverage. I have some locker room interviews I will post later. And then we'll figure out what's going on with this 49ers game later. So have some fun doing that. All right, I'm Brian Nemhauser. That was Isaac Nemhauser. Have a great rest of your day.